This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, oh God, for bringing us through to the preaching moment. I pray, oh God, in this hour that you would use my personality to present your truth. Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts and the minds of the people to receive the word that you have given me to help their lives become better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give this choir a hand clap? And to these dynamic musicians. We're thankful for our ushers standing on the post. Let's give them a hand. They've done a great job showing hospitality this morning. Would you give yourselves a hand for getting out of bed and coming to church this morning? And let us celebrate Pastor Tillman and Sister Tillman. God bless you. God bless you. 37 years. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. Now, can you do me one more favor and give God a hand clap of praise for being a great God, a loving God, a holy God, a righteous God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do count it an honor to stand before you this morning. I'd like to thank my wife for that introduction. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I bring you greetings from Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in downtown Albany, Georgia. And I'm excited about being here in Savannah this morning. This is my first time being in Savannah, Georgia. Thank you. Thank you. The Southern hospitality has been real. I can't even explain just how much we have felt welcome in this city. And we've only been here since Friday. So I told Yasmin, I said, we're coming back this summer to spend a week. Because if they can do this in 2 days, I wonder what it's like for a week. But I won't be before you long. There is a word from the Lord. I simply want to encourage Pastor Tillman. I want to encourage Sister Tillman, encourage the congregation this morning, as well as encourage the body of Christ. I believe that there is a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verses 10 through 13. Would you please stand with me in reverence to reading of the word of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say wait for me. I'm waiting. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Amen. Reading from the King James Version of God's Holy Word. And it reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want to preach from this subject this morning, the battle plan for victory. Amen. The battle plan for victory. You may be seated. If you don't get anything out of this sermon this morning, I want you to walk away knowing that spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare is real. When you come to God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you sign up to be a part of the Lord's army. And just as the Lord has an army, so does Satan himself. And in this life, brothers and sisters, there is a war going on for our souls. And we must understand that when we sign up to be a part of Christ's army, that we sign up to be a part of a target, if you will. And so, brothers and sisters, it's very important to understand that if I have a target on my back, that I must do certain things to ensure that I am protected. Many people, when they accept the calling to become a pastor of a church, or if they accept the calling to become a child of God, they sign up for suffering. Many people believe that the spiritual journey of being a Christian is that of walking a flowery bed of ease, that of simply having people bless you and have favor. But what I've realized is that when you sign up to be a general in the Lord's army, that you sign up to be a target. You sign up to have sleepless nights. You sign up to have people talk about you and ridicule you and call you all everything but a child of God. And it's not just the pastor I'm talking about this morning, but it's you as well. Some of you have been fired from your jobs because you are a Christian. Some people were killed last week when we celebrated Resurrection Sunday simply because they went to church to celebrate the risen Savior. Brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And because we are in the midst of the spiritual warfare, Paul calls us to battle. He wants you to know that you are not simply to go through life with your head in the clouds, but he wants you to know that there is a reality that you are an enemy of the kingdom of darkness. And because you are an enemy of the kingdom of darkness, you have to have a certain type of attire on, and you must have a certain mindset if you're going to gain victory over the kingdom of darkness. The Apostle Paul this morning, he opens us up in the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 1, he talks about grace. The choir sung about grace this morning. One of my favorite hymns goes something like this: Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Anybody know that hymn? That saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He gives them a revelation of God's grace and God's love in chapter number 1 of Ephesians. Chapter number 2, he tells them that it is by grace that you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. He tells us that Jesus Christ, when he died, he tore down the dividing wall of hostility, that there should no longer be Jews and Greeks in the body of Christ, but we are to become one. And that word still rings true in 2019, that we are one in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, that we should not be separated by black people and white people, or upper class and lower class, male and female, but we are one in the body of Christ. He goes on to chapter 3 to tell us a little bit about his testimony, how God brought him from a mighty long way. And he tells us that God wants to do the same thing through us. He ends that chapter by saying, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Chapter number 4, he goes on to tell us something about Christian unity, how we should walk together, for there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Y'all gonna help me preach on a Sunday morning? He says that we should walk a certain way, brothers and sisters, that if we are a Christian, we have labels. People are seeing us, and they want to see that our lifestyle aligns with what we believe, that our deeds and our doctrine should go together, that I can't just preach it on Sunday morning and do whatever I want to do throughout the week and then pick it back up on Sunday morning, but I have people watching me. And then he tells us how to walk it out in chapter number 5. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He says, wives, submit to your husbands. And he tells us this, brothers and sisters, because he's showing us the example. He's given us an analogy of how Christ loves us, of how Christ died for the church. And then he opens chapter 6 and he says, children, I'm talking to the babies this morning, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He gives us all of this practicality in chapters 4 and chapter number 5 and then the first part of chapter number 6. And then we get to verse number 10 of chapter number 6. And he says, finally, I've given you everything. I've given you theology in chapters 1 through 3. I've given you practicality in chapters 4 through chapter 6, verse number 9. But in chapter verse number 10, I want to give you now the battle plan for victory. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the gist of the message. It's three things I want to give you, and I'm going to get out of here, because when I took the tour yesterday, they said, y'all get out of church early at First African Baptist. And so I want to make sure that I abide by the culture of the church. Is that all right? Because I want to make sure y'all get over to Belfort's in time. There's some good steak over there. The first thing I want to teach you, brothers and sisters, is that the hope of victory is related to your spiritual alignment. The hope of victory is related to my spiritual alignment. He says, be strong in the Lord. That's relationship. That if I'm going to gain victory over the spiritual enemies in my life, that I must have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is Jesus. Be strong in the Lord, not be strong in and of myself, because I can't do it on my own. I've tried too many times to do it on my own, and I end up messing up every time. But is there anybody in the building who can testify that when I trusted in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding, but I acknowledge him in all my ways. Can I get a witness that he will direct your path? That I have a relationship with Jesus, and because of my relationship with him, when I do it God's way, it works out every time. Some of us are trying to fix our marriage, but you can't do it on your own. You got to learn how to trust in God. You're trying to fix your child, but you can't fix them on your own. You have to put that child in God's hand. You're trying to deal with a church member who's getting on your nerves. You can't deal with that relationship on your own, but you got to trust in the Lord and ensure that the relationship with him is of uttermost importance. He says that you need to make sure that if you're going to gain victory in this life, that your relationship is founded in Jesus Christ. Because many of us, here it is, we have a Messiah complex. And that is, we believe that we've been called to save the day. We believe that we've been called to fix our family. That if we don't fix them, they can't get fixed. That if we don't put the money up, that they can't get out of the dilemma that they are in. But I want you to know that if you would be strong in the Lord and stop trying to be strong in and of yourself, the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That if I want victory, I need a relationship with him. But it's not enough to have a relationship with God if I don't rely on him. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That it's very important that you learn how to rest in God. The Bible says that we serve a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. So if God never sleep nor slumber, then why am I staying up all time of night? Seem to me that I just need to pray about it and get myself a good night's sleep. And I can't tell you how many times that I've prayed that prayer, but I still stayed up. Because I was not relying on his might. I was relying upon my own might. Too many times we seek to have our charisma save the day. Well, maybe I can just talk my way out of this one. Some of us are so talented and skilled that we feel I don't have to study, that I have what it takes to just breeze through. But can I tell you that you're going to meet your match one day? that you're going to come up against a devil that's bigger than one you've handled, that you're going to meet a coworker or an enemy who knows your number and they know exactly what buttons to push to get you off of your rocker. And I want you to know that in that day, you have to learn how to rely on God. You have to learn how to lean on Jesus and not do it on your own. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That if I'm going to gain spiritual victory, I must be aligned with him. I must have relationship and I must have reliance. But the second thing is that the hope of victory is related to how I am spiritually dressed. The hope of victory is related to how I am spiritually dressed. He tells me in verse number 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He wants me not to put on some of the armor, but he wants me to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I need to have the whole armor on, because if I don't have on the whole armor, then I'm open for attack. And I fear, brothers and sisters, that many times we have been depressed, oppressed, feeling down because we have not worn our armor. You wake up every morning and you put on your pants. You put on your shirt or your dress. You put on your shoes and then you leave out the house. But I want to challenge you that before you leave out the house, that you put your helmet on as well. Before you leave out the house, you put on your breastplate of righteousness. Before you leave out the house, you pick up your shield of faith. Before you leave out the house, you make sure that you have the gospel of peace on your feet, because if you leave out the house without your armor on, brothers and sisters, you will be attacked. Just as sure as you leave home, somebody will cut you off in traffic. And before you know it, when you should have been saying, God bless you, you're ready to curse them out. You pull up to your job, and before you can walk in the door, there goes Susie. And if I don't have the armor on, I'm susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. And so I must make sure that I have my resources with me. That when I leave home, I don't leave my resources behind. The reason I must pick up my resources is because I need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible tells us that Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. You can be minding your own business, sipping your own cup of coffee, and out of nowhere, Satan will attack you. You'll find yourself just sitting at the computer doing your day job, and you'll get a phone call saying, Daddy, just fell. You'll find yourself driving down the street, and your phone will pick up saying, Mama just had a heart attack. You're going to the doctor for a regular appointment, and you'll find the doctor saying, we found a lump. Satan is always seeking to attack you. You see, he has a strategy, brothers and sisters. The first thing he wants to do is deceive you. And after he deceives you, that seed of deception becomes a seed of division. And after he divides you, he wants to destroy you. Let me say it again. Satan plants a seed of deception. There's a reason the marriage is the way it is, because somebody has been deceived. There's a reason that the relationship between the deacons and the pastors are not where they need to be in churches. It's because somebody has been deceived. that there's a reason that you and your family are not on the same page. It's because somebody felt deceived. And when they felt deceived, y'all separated. And as a result of your separation, you are now allowing the enemy to destroy you. And so if you don't want this threefold process to happen in your life, then you must have your resources. You must have the armor on, because Satan wants to destroy you. The Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said it like this. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so I need to pick my resource up, because if I don't have my resources, I don't have hope for victory.
Right.
If I don't have my resources, I'm open for an attack from the enemy.
Yes.
Finally, brothers and sisters, as I prepare to come to a close, the hope of victory is related to the perspective of the enemy.
Right.
Do you have a proper perspective of the enemy? Or do you think Satan is simply a fairy tale? Do you picture him as simply being the guy in the red suit with the pointy horns and the long tail? That if I'm going to overcome spiritual warfare, if I'm going to overcome depression, suicidal thoughts, enemies in my life, that I must have a clear perspective on the devil. The Bible says that he comes as an angel of light. That when he comes into your life, he's going to come looking like what you asked for. He's going to come as the young lady with the Coke bottle shape, with the long hair swaying in the wind. It's going to come as the young man, tall, dark, and handsome. It's going to come as the one with the nice 401k. The one who valet parks you and opens the door for you. But you have to have your clothes on, so that you can spot him a mile away. The devil knows exactly what you like, and he knows exactly how you like it. He'll come as a deacon who's paying big money in the church, who say, I'll do whatever you need me to do. He'll come as the deaconess who said, sister, whatever you need, you can confide in me. But brothers and sisters, I came to preach to you this morning that you better know who you're dealing with when you leave out of these four walls. That you can walk right into the city market and you'll find somebody that looks exactly like what you've been praying for. But the Bible says that God has given us the strategy on Satan. I like to watch football. One of my favorite players is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the GOAT. Now, you may not like Tom Brady. I know we in Georgia, we got a lot of Atlanta Falcon fans. Y'all can come to the altar after the sermon. What was the score, 28-3? Pastor, I want to come back, so let me. Tom Brady. The thing I like about Tom Brady is that he wins by any means necessary. Whether if he has to deflate a football, he'll deflate a football. When I was growing up in school, I had a classmate who would often cheat. I would say, man, you better stop cheating. He said, Carl, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Tom Brady. It was a year they went undefeated. They had a historic year. Randy Moss was the wide receiver. The year before, they had an assistant coach by the name of Eric Mangini. He was a part of the conspiracy known as Spygate, where the other team would go out on the field before the game, and they would do their walkthrough. And as they were going through their plays, the New England Patriots had an intern on the sideline spying out the walkthrough, recording the plays. And then they would go back into the locker room and they would study the footage so that when the opposite team took the field and they saw them audible in a certain way, or if they saw them line up in a certain formation, they knew what was coming because they had spied out that particular team. Brothers and sisters, I'm done preaching, but I want you to know that they were not the originators of Spygate. That if you would open your Bible and you would read through the 66 books of the Bible, through the 1,500 years of literacy in that Bible, through the 40 authors who have written that Bible, you will find that we have some spies and that they've given us the battle plan for victory on how to defeat Satan himself. You see, the Bible tells us in the Gospels of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he came down through 42 generations. Y'all know the story, don't you? The Bible says that he was born in a city called Bethlehem, that he was raised in a city called Nazareth, that he was baptized in a river called the Jordan River. The Bible says that he walked the streets healing the sick and raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. And the Bible said that after he had walked those streets for 3 years, that he came up through Jerusalem. And the Bible said that on Palm Sunday, as he was riding into Jerusalem on a colt, that the church folk were saying, Hosanna in the highest. But by the end of the week, the same folk who were saying, Hosanna in the highest, were saying, crucify him. That's why you can't get too caught up in how people celebrate you. That's why you have to learn how to be content no matter what stage of life you are in. Paul said, I've learned how to be hungry and I've learned how to be full. He said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so the Bible says that on that Friday, they marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. The Bible says that Pilate wants to release the man, but he can't release the man because he had a mob of angry people outside of his residence. He asked the people, do you want me to release this man or do you want me to release Barabbas? And they said, give us Barabbas. The Bible says that they took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and they marched him up the hill to Calvary. The Bible says that when he got up Calvary's hill, that they laid him on an old rugged cross, that they put nails in his hands, and they put nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they pierced him in his side. And the Bible says that he died. I said he died until the earth reeled and rocked. He died until the sun refused to shine. And the Bible says that they buried him in a borrowed tomb. They took him and buried him in Joseph's tomb. And the Bible says that he stayed there all day Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday. But can the church say early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Is there anybody in the building who knows that he lives? And because he lives, you and I can live. Because who has the victory? We have the victory. That's why I like to sing this song. It says, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. It says, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Somebody help me call the name of Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the evening. He's my all in all. He's my joy and sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. Jesus. Say yeah. Say yeah. Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him honor. Because you don't have to wait till the battle is over. You can shout right now. Shout for your victory. Shout for your loved one. Shout for your promotion. Shout for the new job. Shout for the new boo. Give him glory.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.